WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's McLaughlin shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot! Took the pass on a backhand from Owen Sillinger. He beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Vaisanen. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Vaisanen goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Sillinger. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopy.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division I era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tavern for the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Once I took the football intro out of there,
that
was saved into the log. Football season has officially ended now.
It has.
Note to self, Schulte, you need to
add basketball.
Yeah. The Beaver men's hockey team, fresh off of a sweep on the road at St. Thomas. Congratulations, Coach.
Thanks, Schulte.
Have you warmed up yet from that rink? Because I'm not sure I have.
He's got to order his food.
Sorry about that, Schulte. I had to order the grub right there, but I got that out of the way. But boy, that was cold, wasn't it, Schulte? First time in my life I've never worn a sport coat in college hockey. Like 26 years.
I finally downloaded an app to my phone to figure out what the actual air temp was in the building. It's 46.
Oh, boy. Oh, then I obviously, again, I'm glad I had the jacket on because it would have been cold out there. And, you know, it just seemed to me that it was even colder on the bench across the, you know, across the way than it maybe was up in the stands. But the heat wasn't working? Or?
No, it was not.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Two wins, who the heck cares how cold it is, right?
Exactly. Actually, you know, our guys, they again, the ice was outstanding. And, it really was. And it was, you could tell Friday morning and when we skated, but great ice and a little cold, but again, it's a good environment.
What's the size of that rink?
Oh, I don't know, 1,000 probably.
And obviously, there would be plans that they're going to play somewhere else eventually.
Well, for sure. I mean, that's their game plan, and they will. They have enough money there that they're going to be. They're going to have an unbelievable rink. They'll have an unbelievable.
But
rink.
They
It'll
have
be
yet
an unbelievable
to do
setup.
Anything that way, right? I mean, it happened so quick for them. Where I mean, if you didn't have a rink, there's no way you're getting into the WCHA.
No, but again, they're just to me. It's just for our league, we just feel it's just too strong of a school. Has so many. There's so much upside, mostly the metro market. It's a no brainer. So they'll get a rink. We don't worry about that.
That rink reminded me the first time I was there with women's team of the old John Glass Fieldhouse because of the low ceilings and, of course, the benches on one side. How as a coach, do you adjust to your players who haven't played in a rink where there's low ceilings like that very often?
I don't know.
Did it affect you?
No, we don't talk about it. You just play. This is the confines. I mean, every rink has a little.
And Arizona State's was lower than St. Thomas's was.
Really? I just think there's things as a coach you never bring up, you don't talk about it, and I don't think you should, and you just play.
Well, you guys don't really launch the puck that high up into the air to get it out very often. I mean, you can, obviously.
Well, I don't even think it's that, Biss. I mean, like in Arizona State, you're going to have stoppages. There's a low ceiling. They had low glass. The ceiling in St. Thomas is a lot bigger than, I mean, it's a lot. It's like the John Glass. It's not, it doesn't get in the way. And it didn't in the way, it really didn't get in the way in the John Glass Fieldhouse, you know, occasionally, but not to the point where you're going to have a lot of stoppages. In Arizona State, you're going to have a lot of stoppages. You're probably going to have for example, it might be a 2 hour and our average length, it might be 2 hours and 10 minutes for a game. It might be 2:15, 2:16. I'm just spitballing. But I mean, you're going to have more stoppages with, again, short glass on the sides, short glass on the end zones, a small ceiling. It's just, it's inevitable you're going to have that. But you don't have that at St. Thomas. It gets to a point where there might be, like I said, you might be a little closer. The ceiling might be a little smaller, but it doesn't really play into the game much.
St. Thomas has been in a lot of games at the start of the third period. Both were tight games last Friday and Saturday, head to the third period. Was the message stick with the process?
Absolutely. And that's all it was. Just you keep working hard, keep jamming away. And obviously there's some parts of our game I wish we would have done a little better. I wish we were a little more physical. And I don't know why. Maybe, again, I don't know, subconsciously, maybe the guys thought it was going to be easier. Maybe how cold the rink was, I don't know. But there's certain aspects of our game I wish we would have, probably been a little more consistent with. But by and large, they stuck with it. They worked hard. And, we got into a little bit of a rhythm.
Were there any surprises from St. Thomas that you saw?
Well, I don't know if there's surprises, but yeah, there's. I thought they did some things really well. I mean, I thought they broke the puck out well. I thought they defended well. They skated well. They took care of the puck. They got pucks out quick. I mean, they don't make it easy on you. That's for sure.
For a first-year team, where are they at as far as other teams that you've competed against that are first-year teams?
Well, I think they're probably, where they're at. They got, again, I don't sit there and want to define things, wins and losses, because I don't think that's fair. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is they know where they're at and where they're going. I think that's how you got to ask them, not me. I mean, I don't know. I don't see them enough. We're playing everybody else, but there's a lot of puzzle pieces I like, and they're one team who every year they're going to get better and better because they're going to. So, when you can, for the next 3 years, you're going to upgrade every year and you're going to be better. We all can't sit there and say that's going to happen to all of us. Mm-hmm. We might plateau. We might take a step back. They're not going to take a step back. So that's how you got to look at things.
After Friday's game, you commented that Travis Winter had commented to you that, man, we need to block more shots. So I did a little research. Going into Saturday's game, you had blocked 11 more shots than your opponents to date this year. The last time you had more blocked shots than your opponent was 2016. That a little bit surprised me. Blocking shots is such a staple of this program.
It's a staple for every program.
It is. But then I kept looking and kept looking. And I'm like, all right, which were some of the most successful and influential years of Beaver hockey? Frozen 4 year and the year after, you got an at-large bid. Frozen 4 year, you blocked 100 more shots than your opponents. Mm. The next year, you get an automatic bid. It was 126.
Some of that's personnel-based. There's no question. Some guys just sacrifice. And the other thing is, too, I don't want to get technical with you guys, but we box out. We don't layer defensively. And I don't want to explain, but a lot of teams layer. And if you layer, you're going to block more shots. We don't layer. We layer with our first layer we do, but our second and third layers we box out. So you're going to have less block shots as a collective group when you box out versus layer. Like Michigan Tech layers. And when you layer, you're going to block a lot more shots because it's hard to get through the second, third layers. And there's benefits to layering and there's benefits to boxing out. So a lot of it's just personal preference as a coach and what you think you're a better coach with and what you want to do with your team. That's all.
Can you draw a straight line from we block more shots than our opponent to B to C to D, which equates to more wins?
No, and the problem you have sometimes with blocking shots, too, is that really, I'll use Mankato. They're playing. Mankato is pretty dominant against the teams they're playing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That means they have puck possession. That means they have the puck in the offensive zone a lot more than they're in the defensive zone. They're obviously more apt to have less blocked shots than their opponents. So if you're playing Mankato, you're probably going to block more shots than Mankato. It doesn't mean that you're a better shot-blocking team than Mankato, but again, how are you going to block shots when you're in the offensive zone? So I'm saying certain years, you just that could happen too. I'm not going to hit, but then you take a look at the 2010-11 team, or 9-10 team, excuse me, we were 23-10 and 3 or 4, and you said we had 100 and some block shots more. Well, that team we had averaged almost 3.4 goals a game that year too. So so who knows? I don't know. It's hard to define sometimes,
Is there a stat other than goals that does equate directly to wins?
Well, I think goal differential does is what I'm getting at. Goals for and goals against, I think your special teams. I think there's a lot of there's components that probably do. It all depends on how many layers you want to peel back analytically. but puck possession is a big puck possession is actually a very strong. It's supporting. It's good supporting data.
Is St. Thomas, is it better to be a team that's jumped to Division One now than when the Beavers did 20 years ago?
I don't know, Biff. That's a hard question to ask. You guys alluded to that last week, and you do have the transfer portal now, which doesn't hurt. I mean, you can get older a little bit with the transfer portal. So I don't know. That's a tough question. It's just a tough question because I don't know if you can define that. I mean, I can sit there and say, you know, I think so, or there's reason. But I haven't sat back and really thought about things and evaluated things. And, I mean, there's more hockey players right now. I mean, there's a lot more hockey players. There's more junior hockey teams. There's more hockey players. Take a look at our country. The North American League has, you know, 20-some teams. You know, we didn't even have it. You know, the North American League was a Michigan-based league when we did it. So, it's a good question, but probably easier right now. I just think, again, with the amount of hockey players. But we also got more Division I teams, too. So, again, those are all – they're difficult questions, Biss. And I guess I would have liked to have that about a week ago, because what I could do is to really think about it and probably do a little more research. And that's what I think you'd almost have to do to figure out.
We might not know for 4 or 5 years.
True.
Yeah.
But the other thing about St. Thomas is they're a private school. They have more money. And – obviously, there's a limit on how many scholarships each team can have, correct?
Yeah.
So how do you keep that balance? Like, let's say Bemidji State's a smaller school. Are the scholarships going to be equal, or are they going to be lopsided because St. Thomas has more money?
Well, no, it's all the same. They have 18, we have 18. So, I mean, their scholarships, they're going to have to raise more, obviously, because their scholarships
cost more to go to St. Thomas.
But I also don't know when you're a private school, what can you hide, and, you know, too. So who knows? I mean, there's also other types of aid. So, you know, there's ways that private schools do things versus public schools. We have to raise dollar for dollar. They may not have to raise dollar for dollar. I don't know that.
How many years was it before you felt like, okay, we are now a Division One hockey team?
Oh, it didn't take long. 2-3 years. Okay. That's all. I mean, we were bumping off teams year 2-3. They're going to be bumping off a lot of teams in year 2 and 3. No, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all.
Tom Saratore, our guest tonight. The Beavers swept on the road last weekend. Won twice at St. Thomas. We'll host Minnesota State Mankato this weekend at the Sanford Center. Tickets are start at just $12. We're still trying to tabulate all of the years, but it is believed that this is the first time that the Beaver women and the Beaver men have both hosted the number one ranked team in the country on the same weekend. So yeah, we'll have the sure answer on that coming up Friday before game time. But that does...
Get your tickets and go watch some good hockey.
It's going to be great games.
Yeah.
Beaver women have had success over Wisconsin at the Sanford Center. Well, Beaver men have had success over Mankato and a bunch of different places. So
and
it's going to be a great weekend.
Already this year, women's hockey team shut out Wisconsin, took a point on the road. First team to take a point against the number one team in the country all season until the Gophers did it last weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend of hockey. Get your tickets. Tom? The people that are here watching or listening to the show tonight, they're called fans. Fanatics, yes, Joe, you're pointing to yourself. That includes you. They're fanatics for a reason. They're passionate. They look at that number one in front of Minnesota State and put, dare I say, a little more weight into it. Players and coaches don't. How do you strip away all the emotion and forget about all that other nonsense and just go play a hockey game?
I know, it's just what we do. Like, we haven't talked once. I didn't even know they're number one in the country yesterday when you guys brought it up. So, I don't know. It's just, we don't think that way. And we don't motivate that way. We just worry about the task at hand. You just got to watch yourself as a coach if you talk too much about all the peripheral stuff, because it's just, it's pointless. It makes no sense. And that's just perfect for the media. But, you know, from a team, You just don't operate that way.
Well, I've called it a popularity contest for years, because that's all that it really is. It means nothing in the big picture of life.
Mm-mm.
No, but, I mean, it obviously tells you they got a pretty good hockey team, and we're already at the midpoint of the season. So, I mean, there's a sample size, too. But that's – again, it doesn't matter if this is February. We still would never talk about it. We don't, you know, you don't sit there and say, come on, guys, we're playing the number one team in the country. Like, coaches don't do that, and players don't talk that way. You just don't. You just worry about, here's what we have to do against them. You know, here are obviously their strengths. You know, that again, it's the same message every week, and you never deviate.
Well, it's hockey. They may be number one, but they have been beaten. It's not like they aren't beatable. What are any, if any, are their weaknesses, Tom?
They don't have. I mean, they're pretty. They got good depth. I mean, they got good depth, and I mean, there's a lot. They do a lot of little things well too. They're very experienced. They're old. They're good defensively. They are built from the goal on out. They're very strong defensively. They got good special teams. And I said it yesterday during our. Press conference, are number one in the country on faceoffs. So they're just strong and heavy. They're just strong and heavy. They're well coached. They got good balance. They got good balance up and down their lineup.
How do you get more offense against a team that's as good as Mankato is?
Well, you just play. You got to play hard. You got to try to possess the puck a little more. You got to maybe make sure you drive the net. You got to funnel pucks. There's certain aspects of your game you're going to have to get your nose a little dirtier. And you know, it's not like it's you're reinventing the wheel, but you're just going to have to get a little stronger and a little more urgency in certain areas of your game.
Mm-hmm. I jumped the gun. We weren't supposed to talk about Mankato until later in the show.
Whoops.
That's on me. Back to last weekend. Sam Selinski had a pair of goals on Friday. Alex Adams had a pair of goals on Saturday. If you're getting depth in scoring, that's a plus. If you're getting multiple goals depth of scoring, that's a win-win, isn't it?
Oh, big time. Anytime your fourth line can score, I mean, it's a shot in the arm to your team. Conversely, they got two. You know, like Sammy gets two of them. They might have three. I'm just trying to peel back a few layers too. Was that Friday? Is that Friday night?
Sammy had two on Friday.
Yeah, two on Friday. I'm just trying to think again. Did they? Yuri got the one on Saturday. That was the tip on the power play. So I'm just trying to. Yeah.
Well, and Alex, I was pleased to see him back in the scoreboard. I thought he had a huge jump from his freshman year to his sophomore year. I mean, the sophomore year, he was flying, winning a lot of battles, didn't have the best of offensive seasons last year.
Right.
Good to see him get back on the score sheet because he is, if he plays the way he did his sophomore year and he wins all those battles, I mean, that makes you that much harder to beat.
Oh, big time. And you want to get depth up and down your lineup and scoring, and that's what you're alluding to, Biss. And it was nice seeing Adji get a couple on Saturday. So hopefully that'll, again, be a shot in the arm for him.
We'll take a break here at the Tavern. Come back with more of the Tom Cerutori Show. Did all four of us order the tequila steak tacos tonight?
Yeah, Tom.
That's a first, where we've ordered the same food.
They were so good.
They are very, very good.
Tom is like me, though. He likes avocado, where Schulte and Biss had to get it without avocado.
It's just a texture thing for me. I don't
know. Oh, I love avocado. Mm. It's a good fat. So
they also have a slow-roasted New York strip on the special board tonight.
I saw that they have some cheesecake desserts.
That they have, too.
And that's what I'm going for next.
You've already had cheese and sour cream there, Biss.
I figure if I'm ruining the diet, I might as well go all out, man.
Again, a pair of number one teams come into the Sanford Center this weekend. Get your tickets, my friends. It's going to be a great weekend of hockey. We'll preview both the men's series and the women's series coming up here tonight at the Tavern. It's the Tom Cerutori Show and the Coach's Huddle right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have delicious meats and fresh veggies all sandwiched between fresh baked bread. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap. With seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons, it's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of, no, the wrap of sandwiches.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill.
2021 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Beaver women take on Wisconsin this weekend, Friday, Saturday, 3:01 and 2:01. Men's hockey takes on Minnesota State Mankato, 7:07 and 6:07. Beaver basketball also at home this weekend. They'll take on MSU Moorhead and Northern State. So 8 games yet this weekend here on the Beaver Radio Network. We had one last night. Women's basketball knocked off Crookston on the road, 86-80.
First NSIC win of the season.
Hit a bunch of three-pointers last night, so good for them. Our one-time topic, something that you know we like to take a deeper dive into, the program and college hockey in general, and I don't know that, Tom, we've ever discussed equipment with you. Safe to say that if you played today, you'd rather wear today's equipment than the stuff you wore back when you played?
Yeah.
Why is it you always hear about an NHL guy who retires, and you always hear he's worn the same pair of shoulder pads since he was a rookie. They're as thin as a piece of paper right now, but he just can't give them up. I don't understand that.
I don't know. There's still players who do that. I did that when I was in college. There's certain, you know, I remember my shoulder pads and my shin pads. I wanted mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like they were bad, but, I mean, yeah, were they as good as the modern, you know, the modern day ones? Probably not, but still. I mean, you still have to have a certain amount of comfort. You want safety, but you also want comfort. And, you know, the guy you might want to talk to is over there.
I
mean,
I mean,
he's the one who gave me all the notes. I told, you know, there's all the notes right there. So, I mean, if you want to put him on right now, I mean, he's the guru.
Toby
Palmasino is your equipment manager. Let's just start from the first part of D1. Well, let me rephrase that. When Kel and I got here, 2004, your equipment manager was a student. Toby's been the full-time guy since the Sanford Center
right
opened.
Right on.
You can't do that. You can't run a program with a student as an equipment manager.
You can't.
Can you?
No.
Anymore?
No way. No, it was I had to order. It was really hard. It was hard for me. And you just don't do a great job because you can't.
You're coaching.
There's just so many other things. It was hard. It was stressful, and it was just you're juggling way too many things.
Well, it's a good education for I think everybody because I never had a clue as to how this handled. I mean, all the players get their equipment provided for them.
Yes.
And so you're ordering all their shin. I mean, there's a lot of equipment in hockey.
Well, there's
people
just a lot of equipment, and there's timelines,
sizes, and
there's timelines. You have to meet these timelines, and you have to fit somewhere in the food chain that where the National Hockey League is first, the American Hockey League is second. There's just a lot of factors that play into it, and it's really hard to do.
And another one would be agreements with the manufacturing companies, correct?
I mean,
whether it's
Adidas or Reebok.
Well,
or
we always worked
online, with, yeah.
And exactly. We have contracts, and I remember I was working with, you know, Mission and with Warrior just because you know what they're a priority to them. Then that's the biggest thing. And but it's something you also want to make sure too that your guys are comfortable with their equipment, that you want them happy. There's a lot of things that play into it.
Yeah. So okay, let's say you order all my equipment. I play for you. I show up. I put something on. I don't like it.
Well, that's up to you.
But what?
Well, but you're also the reps are coming in and they're trying
all
it
right.
on. So I mean, there's a lot. They're coming in.
So by the time they get their final. This is your equipment. They already have tried it out, worn it.
Yeah,
should be
and there's certain things. I don't know if they're wearing gloves. You know what? You'd have to ask Toby some of this stuff. I have not been involved in probably 8, 9, 10 years. I don't even know what goes on.
Well, that's
got
to be nice.
Oh, it's awesome. That's what I'm saying.
How valuable is Toby to you then?
He's unbelievable. It's to the whole athletic department. It's unbelievable what those guys do and how much impact that they actually have. It's a true team. It's a true team. And if you want Tom Cerutori ordering equipment or being part of the equipment, your guys are going to get well, but your guys, you're not doing a service for your players. And that's the thing. You want to make sure ultimately it's all about doing a service for your players. And they're the ones out there Friday and Saturday night trying to win you games. And you want to put them in the best possible position to win. And you need somebody who knows their stuff, who knows the ins and outs, knows the equipment manufacturers, understand the nuances of all those things. Like, all those things, I don't know, and I don't want to know.
You don't have to know.
And I don't want to know. I don't want to know any of that anymore.
I remember when I started here, you guys were all two-piece sticks. So you had to order the shaft that they wanted and then the blade and the curve they wanted. Now it's all one-piece sticks. I remember Brad Hunt, it seemed like he would go through a dozen sticks a week for you guys. I've never seen a guy break so many sticks.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a one-piece or two-piece with Brad. He just has such a heavy shot, so you got to break him.
Could have been a tree trunk, and I think he still may have broken the stick.
Well, actually, the one-pieces, he'll break more because they're whippier. And, I mean, just the force that he has into a shot is unbelievable.
So would you say, besides sticks, the skates are probably one of the most important pieces
of
equipment? And those are custom made to their feet, correct?
Yeah, the skates and the sticks. I you know what? You could talk to Tobes about that. To me, they're probably equally as important. Probably, they go hand in hand.
Is their whole body covered now? I mean, I remember when we played, Tom. There were certainly vulnerable spots that you could get hit by the puck.
Well, there still is. There still is, but it's they're a lot better right now, and things fit a lot better, and they're a lot tighter. That's the one thing when we played it, things were looser too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they were.
But yeah, it's just, the compression, I wore my favorite t-shirt or a union suit underneath my, uniform. Now they have all compression equipment and it breathes and it's tight on your body.
And Jofa, shoulder pads or whatever, the chest plate was like a thin material of, I don't know what, but it's certainly not what they have today to protect you.
Well, some are kind of thin, too, right now. And the game's different, too. Like, the equipment is better. There's no question about that. But you're doing different things, too, where, just the game has changed, too. And the game has changed just like the equipment has changed. Everything evolves.
Is it safe to assume that the sharpening or... Yeah, the sharpening of one's skates is one of the most temperamental things that a player has.
Yeah.
Well, here's one. Absolutely. I wish, you know what? You should have Toby on right now. Yeah, I should just take the headset off for 10 minutes because we talked about this today. Like in pro shops, like retail, like Toby says, they're all automated skate sharpeners now. They don't want to have to break anybody, because you have such turnover. So you don't want to have somebody who's just part-time with it because they're not going to do a great job. But, again, technology, skate sharpeners even. Now, obviously, we don't have that. But like Toby says, pro shops are moving away from training employees. And, they want to make sure, again, that it obviously is more conducive for anybody who's working there. So it's just like anything right now. You take a look at cars. Everything's computerized. They drive themselves. Yeah. They're all computerized. Same thing with skate sharpening. Hmm.
What about goalies? I mean, you got the goalie pads. How do you know that they're – I'm sure there's rules, right, as to how big they can be. But what's to say that you don't make them a couple inches bigger?
Well, you can't. I mean, it's against the rules. I mean, so
well, it is. But, do they pull out a tape measure before the game and go, wait a minute?
No, but if they did, you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Tar thing.
Yeah, you just don't. You just don't, though, Beth. I don't know if the manufacturers would even make it, to be honest with you. I don't know if they would even make it. Again, that's something you'd have to ask Toby again. But I don't think they'd even make it. So,
is it different between high school, college, and pro?
I don't know. Okay. You'd have to ask Toby. Right. I don't know what all the rules are. And, but I will say that the pads in general for high school, they're not going to be as big because they're not as big.
Big people.
Yeah, they're not as big of people. So all those things play into it, Biff. So, but we have we've got obviously standards, and we've got to abide by those standards. And there's obviously width. There's height and width restrictions on pads. As far as gloves are as too, and blockers, and how big do you want some of your equipment? You guys, you can have it, but you still got to be able to move. So there's just all those factors that play into it too. You still have to have athleticism. So,
probably one of my favorite pieces of equipment are the goalie helmets. Now, is that up to each goalie to have them painted the way that they want?
Yeah, I think Toby, I think that's kind of what they do, is those guys figure out if they want, if they have some kind of theme, you know, and they, whatever theme they want, and they kind of have a little fun with that. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you guys pay for a new paint job every year, every 2 years?
I don't know. I think, I would think it probably every year. I don't know that for sure.
They've had a different lid every year. So
then there you go then. So you see, you're more observant than I am there, Schulze.
There are some times that's the only way that I know who it is.
Exactly.
Actually, they both wear green pads.
You know what, though? I'm the same way when it comes to when I do know their masks.
Do you remember, Tom, how much your hockey stick cost when you were playing in high school?
Oh, boy, it was cheap. That's the other thing, too. It was so cheap. I don't
30
know.
$30 maybe?
No way.
15?
Oh, I don't even think even that.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I would like to. When I was 1982. Best. And
I bet there were at least $20.
I don't think so. I don't even know.
Let's just say it was 20.
Yeah.
One of Toby's family was asking if they could get a stick for one of their squirt players. A stick for a squirt player was $250.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to say they weren't even $20. I think we were getting skates for $75-$80 back then.
Skates?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out.
Sticks. What
a pair of skates now are about $800.
it's getting pretty.
So it's safe to
expensive.
Say your stick budget has tripled since sticks. You went from wooden sticks to
sticks
the sticks now.
No, I don't know if they've tripled, but they do. We get a pretty good. I mean, we get a pretty good deal on them too. So again, Toby could help you with that too.
But Toby's getting lots of shout outs.
It's different, but when it was, anybody could play hockey. Mm-hmm. Put it this way,
right?
The best way of saying anybody could play hockey when I played hockey.
I agree.
Anybody could play hockey.
My parents
not anybody can play hockey
money.
Now.
No, my parents couldn't afford it right now.
No.
Skates were affordable. Sticks were affordable.
Yeah.
You didn't travel a lot, so it was just a different world back then. It was a different world back then.
Well, it's become the most expensive sport, isn't it?
Got to be.
It has to be from all the different traveling to equipment.
Well, it's not as bad in the state of Minnesota, but, you know, leave the state of Minnesota.
It's even worse,
and
yeah.
Then you got to look at the biggest thing is you got to look at ice time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were in Tempe last week, and I don't know, but I'm speculating it's probably $400 to $500 an hour for ice.
Wow.
So that just increases the cost right there. So whatever you're paying per hour has an impact on how much you're paying, you know, fees for playing hockey.
Well,
and then how much do you travel? We have the ability of somewhat, you know, and even though people want to say it's crazy right here in the state of Minnesota, it's not. We're still, you know, basically we can travel regionally. You might head down to the Twin Cities, but you're not going from state to state. You're not getting in airplanes. I mean, I always use my nephews. When my nephews were, Tim and Tom were in Colorado Springs, I mean, Frank was in a league. They were in a league in Dallas and Phoenix and L.A. So,
that's me. Bonkers.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the amount of money that, you know, what it costs, it's spending.
But on the flip side, you don't want to scare people away from the sport because there is support. I know Bemidji Youth Hockey has programs for those to start out and make it more affordable for those kids that are little and wanted to try it out. So, I mean, you don't want to scare people, but
it's not. But in the state, but in the state of Minnesota, it's doable still. That's where I'm getting at.
Right,
I'm not.
Right.
But you want to scare people? Leave the state. You know,
fly to Dallas.
Yeah,
try to
go
play
to Dallas.
Hockey in Kansas.
For a Bantam game.
You go to Arizona. Go to Florida. I mean, hey, basically, you know what? Michigan now, their high school hockey has expanded. They're doing less AAA because a lot of the parents too, they don't want to pay the money anymore. So it's almost like they're scaling things down a little bit is what I'm getting at. And we still, it's somewhat. It's pure here a little bit is what I'm getting at. And that's the one beauty of the state of Minnesota. I mean, it costs a little more, but it's doable. But it's not really doable in Dallas and in Phoenix and in Florida and L.A. and, you know, San Francisco, Colorado. It's you start leaving the Midwest and you start, you know, it's Chicago. I mean, telling you, it is. You can scare you. It is expensive. And there's they might have programs, but it's hard. It's hard in those areas. And there's a lot of hockey players, and there's a lot of hockey in these areas now.
Well, you can think of the state of Minnesota and how condensed it is with hockey teams. You can go anywhere, whether it's the northeastern corner, northwestern corner, south part of the state, and you'll find at least a good hockey team. They, like you said, you don't have to leave the state of Minnesota to play a decent opponent.
No, and hey, let's say if you go to the Twin Cities, you don't have to stay. Typically, people know somebody down there, so that can, you know, you're paying some gas, but you can maybe stay at some people's house. You know, you know somebody. I mean, there's ways you can. You're still paying money, but there's ways that you can obviously, you can get, you can maybe get through. Is all that's all I'm getting at.
Well, not to change the topic, but what's with what, the white helmets?
Back to equipment.
You know what? Something we've been talking about for a while, and talked to Toby about that, but we wanted to give it a whirl, and
they're growing on me.
I agree.
I didn't like them at first, but they're growing.
They were different. It was different, but I'm with you, Schultzy, but I like it. I'm glad we did it.
One of the biggest areas where I'm seeing a change from when Kel and I moved to Bemidji until now with your program is team issued apparel. When you guys are on the road, they look like a team.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't necessarily look like a team back in 2004 when Kel and I got here. Everybody was just wearing whatever in the heck they were wearing that day. How important is that as a coach and as a team to look and act like a team?
That's all part of it, though. You better have these things if you want to get players. I mean, it's all if you want to get players, you better do these things. I mean, at the end of the day, you know what? We're competing with the likes of a Notre Dame. Boston College, we're in the same division as Boston College, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and it's hard enough. So you better do what you can do to try to, you know, to keep your head above water. So that's the price of poker that we're at right now, guys.
Well, I think what's cool is walking through an airport, you've got the entire team, I know with women's hockey, all wearing the track suits. I'm sure the men do the same thing. And people stop you and they're like, oh, what school are you from? Or where are you from? It's great publicity.
Absolutely, Kelly. It's really good publicity. Cool. And it's all part of it, too.
Well, we went to the NHL game while we were in St. Louis, and all the girls are wearing their Bemidji State track suits. And that was the coolest thing because people were like, oh, look, it's a women's hockey team. I mean, you know, it is. It's great publicity. It's good to be part of that camaraderie.
If you're not keeping up with the Joneses, you're not going to be with the Joneses much longer.
No, nope, that's all part of it.
Got to get the announcers in on that take, Brian. Yeah. We don't get that swag.
I do.
Okay, now I know how I rate.
Talk to Toby.
That's you don't travel with them.
I don't travel with the team. You're right.
We'll preview the Minnesota State Series. When we come back, it's the Tom Cerruttori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Think we're due for a good cold winter? Get the convenience of a remote start now at Detail Plus. Just the touch of a button with a remote car starter from Detail Plus. Call 444-7587 to schedule your installation today. Need glass repair? They can do that too from Chandler's Auto Glass. They work with all insurance companies and take care of that pesky paperwork. With any windshield replacement, you receive a free mini car detail. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
Got health coverage on your mind? We can help. I'm Alan Zutz with Thrivent Financial, and we've got UCare, Medicare, and individual and family plans for every budget and need. And now is the right time to enroll for next year. Call us to find out why UCare plans offer you more, including doctor choice and extras you want. Call Alan Zutz or Rice Miller at 444-0202. That's 444-0202.
More and get more when you stuff your stockings and holiday care packages with Green Mill gift cards. Give family, friends, and coworkers a special gift of Green Mill goodness. From award-winning pizza and exciting entrees to the most delicious sandwiches, salads, and refreshing drink choices. Now when you purchase $100 in Green Mill gift cards, receive a bonus $25 gift card free. The gift that gives more. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill. The Green Mill of Bemidji.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Eight games this weekend on the Beaver Radio Network. Four basketball, four hockey. Info is always online, beaverradionetwork.com. Then we'll take on Minnesota State Mankato. Tommy, you guys have played the Mavericks a ton as of late, last year in particular.
He forgot to his headset.
Just starts Tom talking.
Tom was people watching.
It's all good. I was too. I was watching the triplets over there.
Oh, yeah.
They're so cute.
I'm watching Daddy.
Hi, Toby. Hi, Jenna. Hi, girls.
Are they triplets?
Yeah, I think. Aren't they?
No.
Twins.
Yeah. Twins.
Yeah.
And
yeah. That's right.
My goodness. I knew he had twins.
Two older ones are.
Hey, Tobes.
Get their hands full.
Thank you for that. So cute.
Got my equipment cheat sheet here, so Toby supplied that for me today.
You guys have played Minnesota State so much, Tom. Last year with the COVID year and scheduling. Didn't you play them six times last year?
Six times. You take a look at our schedule last year. I mean, the reason, you know, too, that you look at the national tournament, it ended up where our strength of schedule was number one in the country. And I might have this wrong a little bit. I'm just trying to have a good memory. But we had Cato six times. We had Tech six times. We had Lake Superior five times. We had Bowling Green four times, and they
four
were the
in
best four in a row, and they were the strongest teams in our league. So you just take a look, and you know, and that really helped us. Really helped us.
They have so many guys back from last year. So do you. Are you anticipating anything other than games like we had last year, which they were all tight?
I mean, who knows? I mean, yeah, that's what I'm anticipating. I hope, you know, I think they're going to be just great battles. They typically are. If you want to, historically speaking. They're going to be great battles, and we've got a great rivalry with Mankato. So for both teams, it's just a fun series. It's a fun series for the players, for the coaches, for the fans.
Mankato is, probably your biggest rival, wouldn't you say it now?
Absolutely. I think so, Biff.
But they've been so good for so long. I mean, obviously it helps once you start a winning tradition. But what has led to that? I mean, they've just had it going for several years now.
You know, they just do. They got a good model. They got a good business model. They stick with that model, and they've been successful with it.
I mean, Mankato obviously isn't as separated per se from a metro area. It's kind of its own metro area, but it's only an hour from the cities. That can't hurt either.
Well, it's a big school. They got 15,000 students, and they got a good location, and
Yeah.
We got a good location too.
Yeah, absolutely. For recruiting and all that. But yeah, it is. We all have strengths.
You played a couple overtime games against them last year, and you split the two overtime games.
Yeah, they were both the 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. Was it back-to-back nights? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I just had it up on my phone.
Because it was a Thursday, Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what we did last year, Schultz, at the end of the year?
Goofy year.
I think we did, actually. I think we might have did a 1-1, I think, on that last series of the year.
I think you did.
I think it was a Thursday in Cato and a Saturday here, if I'm not mistaken.
See, December 18th and 19th.
But no, it was the one in February, Kelly.
February, that's the one I was looking at. Yeah. Saturday, Tuesday, no. Thursday, Saturday.
That's what I'm saying. So it was Thursday in Cato, because that's when we lost.
Good memory.
And then he played Tuesday against Lake State in the makeup games.
Yeah.
Good memory. I forgot about that.
Overtime.
Gives you a little bit more appreciation for a season that's kind of normal. I mean, as far as Saturday and Friday and Saturday games.
Well, that was weird last year. You take a look at some of those times. It was different, though. It was unique, but it wasn't all bad. I'll tell you, one thing, hey, the players loved it, too. those early games weren't all bad. I mean, it was different. I mean, sitting around all day, it gets to be nerve-wracking as a coach and a player. So
well,
it's nice to...
from a fan perspective, well, as an announcer perspective, I didn't even know when you were playing most of the time. I mean, it'd be Monday at 2.
Well, we didn't have fans last year, so that wasn't...
Right,
you know,
it didn't matter. As far as attendance-wise.
It was like youth hockey.
Yeah, I mean, it was. If it wasn't for my online calendar, I wouldn't have known to show up at the rink.
It was weird, though. It was weird. You know, I should say it was weird, but then it got to be somewhat normal playing on these non-traditional times.
Right.
It was weird having, like, pregame meal, like, at 10:30, and, you know, let's have a little pasta, but let's have more of a brunch or more of an eggs, whatever, all that kind of stuff. Hey. It was unique.
Welcome to our world on the women's side. We do that every weekend, pretty much.
Good point.
True. Yeah.
In the last couple of years, Tom, I'm not going to lie, one of the biggest draws to me of this series was the two goalies.
Mm-hmm.
As an opposing coach, your thoughts on Dryden McKay?
Well, he's battle tested. He's experienced. I mean, take a look at how successful he's been. I mean, he's got national records and those things. So I mean, that just tells you he's a heck of a goaltender.
To me, he's got a future in the NHL. I look at the Wild now. Cam Talbot, when he played for Huntsville,
I would not have guessed.
I never would have guessed that he'd be playing in the NHL for a dozen plus years.
Yeah.
And be a stud goalie,
right?
Yeah, he got a lot of shots though.
He got a lot of a lot of work.
Yeah, but he's an athlete. He's good size, and you know he can come from anywhere, guys. Doesn't matter.
How often do you look at like the goalie's tendency when Dryden McKay? Let's say, I mean, do you watch and go, okay, he's better glove side than blocker side or low versus high?
We used to do more of that, and I just think that the biggest thing is that don't worry about that. It's so important to get shots off quick. It's so important to get traffic in front of the goaltender. All those things are probably important because you don't have enough time and space to say, I want to go upstairs. You just don't. I know people think you just don't have time. So you have to make sure, again, there's certain things as a shooter, it doesn't matter who's in the net. You know, a lot of it is just getting your shot off quick. A lot of times in tight, too. You might want to go on. You want to go under the bar in tight. It doesn't matter if he's 6'3 or 5'10. You want to go under the bar in tight. You know, from, you know, at the top of the circle, from outside the dots, you're probably looking more 5-hole to create a pad pass situation. Whatever. There's just certain habits that you have to have. And I guess those are the things that we probably concentrate on more than the typical goalie, where they might be strong or where they might be, where they might have some weaknesses. Because I just think it's a lot of fluff. If you want to sit there and you're filling your players in with way too much information, that's really it's not even valuable information
in
my book.
And then you're saying, okay, let's shoot high on this guy, and then you come down and you shoot high, and he's got that covered. I mean, shouldn't it be in the moment where I see the
net
is low? I should shoot low as a forward. I never wanted somebody to tell me where I should shoot. I wanted to decide when I was looking at the net.
Well, exactly. So we don't get into that. Is what I'm getting. There's times we've looked at their last 10 goals or something. Here's where they've scored on it. Here's where we feel that they are, you know what, they are proficient or deficient. And again, we don't do that anymore. And again, I just think a lot of it is just overkill. I think it's overkill. I think there's too much. You know, you can overcoach. And I think we don't overcoach that anymore is what I'm getting at. We don't overcoach. We don't talk much about it. That's on our players. And again, I think you're spot on, Biss. They got to be in the moment. They got to make sure they got to do their thing. But so much of it right now, guys, is just getting a shot on net. It's as simple as getting a shot on net and then getting a second shot on net. And then if you get a rebound, can you get it across? Can you get it across where the back door, there's no support on the back door. There's no defensive support on the back door, for example. There's just a lot of things like that. Puck movement is so critical. Puck movement east-west. Biggest thing is can you – it's not about the goaltender. Can you get east-west – can you get horizontal passes? If you can get horizontal passes going, that sure helps your scoring chances.
Kyle Loft is from Mankato. Wills Mullick's brothers are have played and currently are playing for Minnesota State. When it's special for two guys in a roster, is it special like that for all of them?
I mean, do they all kind of feed off of that a little bit?
I don't know. Again, never talk about it. I don't ask questions. I don't think about that. You probably, it's a question you're asking, but I've never thought about that. I mean, obviously, I did ask, you know, Will, if his parents are coming up. You know, I'm sorry. I asked him, I think it was this morning. I go, God, your parents got to be pumped. He goes, yeah. You know, but he goes, I think my dad's going to be watching my sister play basketball on, you know, so she has basketball. So, you know, who knows? Because he might be up on Saturday. He didn't know. But I mean, I know it's important for those guys. But we don't need to talk about it.
Well,
because
as a sibling, I would think it's a matter of pride, no matter what. Yeah. I mean, I want to beat my brother, or I want to beat my sister, whatever the case may be.
I wanted to beat up my brother.
Well,
I didn't care what the scoreboard said.
Kind of find it funny that both his mullets are defense, right? And you got the Sillingers; they're all forwards. Kind of weird how it works out that way sometimes.
Yeah. If speaking of siblings, if you have not checked it out, check out the Beaver Radio Network website or our Facebook page. We've listed every single brother that has played for the Beavers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's cool. A cool story.
How many were there?
63.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm.
30 families, 63 total kids.
How many father sons have you done that one?
The only ones that I could find was Omer and... Brad Blah.
No.
There's more.
Oh, Omer and Brad, yeah. But you had Maddie Anderson, Kenny. Omer and Brad, you had Kenny and
We'll see
Maddie.
If they were listed as different hometowns.
Well, they probably
there's
were.
There's no way for me to figure that out.
No, you know what? I get it. Yeah, I get it. You should have bounced that one off me, and there's more.
I've
Comstocks.
Bulliani.
Jude, yep, Jude and Jude.
I got an email, or we got an email to the booth last weekend. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think out loud, too.
That's why in the story I said this is according to my research. It's nothing official. Hard to figure out.
Father-son's different, but you know, it's not hard. Like what we could do, Schulze, next time we're on the road, seriously, we'll have the media guide, because the one thing, father, you know, same names. It's not as, you know, we'll figure that one out. There's more, too, that I'm, you know what, again, we have. Yeah, absolutely. We have Omer and Brad, and I just said we have the Andersons right there. Good job on the Bullions right there. Great job right there, Kelly.
Linda,
Comstocks.
Actually, I got to give credit to Linda Conway Bertrand. She's the one who emailed the booth. She's a big fan and a listener to our broadcast. So,
the 63 brothers was a little astonishing to me, but it was that many.
Yeah. And not all played necessarily on the same team, but a lot have, obviously. I mean, you had the Fitzgerald.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's a lot. The Meth Bens. I mean, you can... think of them.
Well, the Sillingers right now.
Yeah, the Sillingers now.
No, it's you're spot on, guys.
It's crazy.
Honestly, that's cool. You're cool you did that, Schulze. I like that.
Thanks to Ernie and Colleen Beidle. They're the ones that asked the question.
Longtime Beaver fans. I coached their child, who is now a deputy with the Sheriff's Department.
Well, I'm thinking...
okay, that's year old.
It's kind of cool. You know,
very old.
And when you have the Belials with, you know, Teddy and Omer and now Brad, it is kind of cool, you know. And you got a couple brothers and you got a father-son.
And an uncle and a nephew.
Yeah.
All
that's
rolled
so
into
cool.
one.
Hey, it's Beaver Nation, right? Yep. I mean, once a Beaver, always a Beaver. And that trickles down from family member to family member.
That's cool.
Sometimes.
It's cool.
What else will be cool? Watching the Beavs this weekend.
Absolutely.
Should be great games at the Sanford Center. Yeah. Tickets start at $12. Get them at the Sanford Center box office or Ticketmaster.com. Tom, best of luck.
Thanks a lot. Good appreciate luck. It, guys.
Tom Ceratori joining us tonight. It's the Tom Ceratori Show every Wednesday night starting at 6 right here on the Beaver Radio Network. We will come back and chat Beaver women's hockey. Coach Scanlon here. They're hosting a number one ranked team as well.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Why not? It's the Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle right here at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM Man here. That's right, we have Buick, GMC, along with the full Chevrolet lineup. As we are finally coming out of the pandemic, now is the time to come see the Donlinger difference. We have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles arriving daily. You are sure to find the vehicle you want. Also, don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
The holidays are about staying in touch with family, friends, the holiday spirit. Paul Bunyan Communications keeps you in touch with fiber optic fast internet to power all your family's devices. Connect with both download and upload speeds up to 10 gig, backed up by friendly, local service and support. This holiday season, stay in touch with fiber optic fast gigazone internet from Paul Bunyan Communications.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet.
And mercy, come take me from this cage. Cause these four walls and iron bars have been witness to the rage.
Welcome back to the Tavern, Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Two Beaver series this weekend, both going up against the number one team in the latest popularity contests. Coach Jim Scanlon with us, VSU women's hockey team. Four straight wins. Congratulations, Kenny.
Thanks, Holsey. Good to see you guys.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's a good way to go into the holidays, isn't it? Four straight wins.
That beats the alternative. Absolutely.
So let's make it six.
We'll just start with five.
You got to win the first one. Got to win the first one before you can get a sweep. I agree. Better execution? Anything change schematically?
No, execution certainly is a good word. What's that? I'm all for it. No. We put certainly a bigger emphasis on our offensive zone, just trying to spend more time there, and that's certainly was one of the factors at Lindenwood, is we had the puck a lot more and had the puck in the offensive zone a lot more. But as I was telling Kelly yesterday at media day, it starts on our end. It has to start on our end. Good, solid. D zone, that's where a lot of, and against St. Cloud, that's where a lot of our goals started, is how we were playing on our end. So but I think just players are feeling more comfortable. There's some confidence going, and that all plays into it too. Some of our younger players, like a Claire Vekic, she's starting to really come on and just playing with a lot of confidence, making things happen. Scored a huge goal there last Friday. Alyssa Watkins, her goal on Saturday was incredible.
Unbelievable.
So just to see that from freshmen is really encouraging.
Well, it was a tough start for you guys, but I mean, you play the top teams. I mean, you know that going in, that mm-hmm. You got to face the toughest teams in women's hockey in the country. That doesn't make it any easier to go through, does it?
No, and this year in particular was
boom, 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 yeah, boom. It was. Everything was back, no, to back, oh, to back. No.
And of course, whoever did our scheduling threw Clarkson in there.
Hey, but you beat Clarkson.
We did, yeah. So. No question. So
I don't know that
I have my own theories as to why we're playing them again next year. We got Ohio State, Minnesota, Wisconsin back to back to back weekends. And,
oops. Well, and that's just the thing. I think
you have to play everybody twice.
But. Yeah, and Minnesota and Wisconsin are always going to be up there. But
and you could add Ohio State.
Well, now Ohio State. Absolutely. And they, I mean, that's just recent. They weren't, mm-hmm. It took them a while to get established, but, mm-hmm. You could. I mean, certainly through Duluth. Duluth had off strong and then kind of had a waning time period. But they're back up there again.
Yeah, very, very strong team. Yep.
So, I mean, for you guys, that's obviously always going to be the challenge.
Yep.
But you've met that challenge before.
Mm-hmm. No question. It's one of the the attractions of playing in this league is you're playing with and against the best players in the world in the women's game. So. You know, our group gets up for them, and there's no question it's a challenge. And you know, we've had some humbling moments, but at the same time, we've had some big wins too. So, you know, we like to take the attitude we get to play Wisconsin this weekend, and you know, we're looking forward to it.
Well, looking back at the very beginning of the season, your first series is against St. Thomas. You win that first night, you fall the second night. And I remember, Coach, the one thing you said was, great. The last thing anyone wanted to be was to be the first team in their D1 history.
Hey, somebody had to be first. Yeah, somebody's
no,
be first.
It didn't need to be us. But, no, it kind of, if you would have won those games, it might have given your team a little bit of a lift going into maybe some of those top-ranked teams, too.
Well, it's you know, it's the start of the season is always going to be interesting. You know, we knew that, and you know, we're going to go through there every year. And it was just this year we played. I think we had a bye, you know, the second weekend. Then we went to Ohio State the weekend after that. So it's just kind of the way things got laid out. A lot of it had to do with COVID and losing series and teams not wanting to travel and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the bottom line is we just took the approach we're just gonna keep getting better. It's every one of these games is a learning experience. Our goal is we want to be playing our best hockey come February, March, and that's still the goal. So I like the direction our group is going right now. And again, this is gonna be another opportunity to see where we're at.
Well, I know that one night after that Friday game at Lindenwood, I'll never forget, I was interviewing Lindsay Featherstone, your fifth year out of Woodbury, and she said that Kerrigan Dowie said something after that game that really struck, and I think it stuck with your players, because she said, it's fun to win, isn't it? Let's remember how this feels. And that, since then, it's kind of carried on, and she's been injured and out, but of course Hannah Hogensen has filled that spot for you. How much does it mean to you to have those, I mean, Kerrigan's an alternate captain, but to have those fifth years help that younger group of players buy into that?
Oh, it's been kind of hard to give you an exact measurement. Just it's invaluable. Just they're just because of the people they are, you know, not just the fact that they're their fifth year and the experience they had, but the kind of people they are and the mentors that they're being to the younger teammates. There's great people, and to have them in the locker room, and that's really to hear one of them say that. I mean, that's what it's all about. We brought that up twice now in our Monday meetings. How good does it feel when you took your skates off after Saturday, after you get that sweep? You know, it gets addicting. That's what you want to keep doing. So, but yeah, Lindsay, just in all of our fifth years, just wonderful people, and great leaders, and outstanding hockey players.
Did you know Hannah Hogensen was going to be this good this quick?
Well, we hope so. I mean, we hoped that she was going to be able to be this kind of a goaltender. And last year was a tough year, no question. And there's a lot more to it than just obviously what we saw on the ice. But she's just been a different person. She came in just really focused. I could tell just right from day one she was locked in. And you know, ever since we put her in against Ohio State, she's been outstanding.
How many saves did she have against Wisconsin?
56.
Yeah, that Friday game was 56, yep.
In a tie?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
0-0.
Yeah.
56.
To shut out the top team in the country.
And she wasn't 100% healthy. That's why she didn't play on Saturday. We were taking a little.
I was wondering. I saw precautionary, that. I'm like, wouldn't you have gone? I mean, my goodness, you don't get much better than that. But no. That explains that.
Yep. And you know, then you know, she goes back in against Minnesota. Same thing. Played you know, really well there. And you know, she's, you know, outstanding at Lindenwood. Outstanding against St. Cloud. Funny to say, she was locked in practice today. I said, man, you were just tracking that puck, and she's looking good.
And what year? Sophomore?
Sophomore, yep.
Which bodes well for you guys.
Yep.
Funny story about Hannah Hogensen. So last weekend, there's a timeout on the ice, and I saw somebody tweeted out, there's Hannah. They were waiting for a review of a call, I believe a goal call. And she's in between the pipes, and they're playing the Jeopardy theme song, and she's got her skates moving to the beat of the Jeopardy theme song, and she's just cool as a cucumber. She knew that puck had been kicked in, so that's what they were reviewing that. Mm-hmm. But I saw the video made its way on Twitter, and I'm thinking, she's just in the zone. She is so comfortable with where she's at, and well, you gotta like that confidence, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's just her whole mental approach has been really impressive. Just nothing rattles her. Just,
Jim, you know goalies. They all do goofy things.
Yeah.
Yep. Not all of them, but a lot of them do for sure.
Mm. Now, 56 stops. I mean, what's it going to take to beat Wisconsin? Another 56 save performance?
Getting one more goal than them, Biss.
That is
as many saves as it takes.
The show can be over.
Yep. Yes,
we've
that
all
question.
Been enlightened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you asked what it's going to take to beat them.
Well, what about? Right? I mean, the fact. Obviously, you're hoping that it's not 56 saves.
No. Again. No, absolutely not. That's you can't expect your goalie to, you know, shut out a team giving up 56 shots a night. So. But you know, this obviously the difference this year, this series we're playing at home, that'll be huge, and the fact that we played them not too long ago, and just that experience, especially for our younger players and our five freshman defensemen, that they've been in that situation against that team, you know, that's gonna help. But no question, it's you know, it's one of those series where we have to be really, really good in terms of our habits and our details. We got to limit our mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen. We all know hockey. It's a game of mistakes. But if we can limit them and do a good job managing the puck, and again, just take it 20 minutes at a time, that's what we have to do.
Well, the last two times they've been here, you've beaten them once.
That's true. Yep.
2-2 yep. In the last four.
Yep.
Not many teams get to say that.
No, we've for whatever reason here in Bemidji, we've had some success against them, but. Again, those are long past different teams, so this is a new one, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I have to admit, I've been very impressed with your freshman class. You've got 9 freshmen. 5 of the 7 are defensemen, and they have looked so good, obviously, throughout the season, but have grown so much. So impressed by their play. Taylor Larson, McKenna Deering, I think, are the two that stick out. Ella Anik, and many others. But anyway, I know I'm forgetting some, but... Talk about how much, I mean, for you as a coach, having 5 of your 7 defensemen in this league to trust them to play defense, that's a challenge, isn't it?
It is, Kelly. You're like, to use Tom's phrase, you're spot on. It's not an easy league to play, that position. They've stepped in and they've done a really nice job. And what I like about them is just their work ethic. They just come to every day, work hard, and they've earned these opportunities that they're getting. A lot of poise. You know, they're all, 2 of them are on power play. Now we're tweaking our power play a little bit, and now Adriana Vanisleet is on a power play. So they're getting a lot of ice time, and they're playing big minutes, big roles, and doing a heck of a job.
5 of their 7 defensemen are freshmen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, Abby Ecker would have been she was a redshirt junior last year, and so the plan was she would have been back, but she graduated and wanted to do some travel before going on to, and she's hoping to get into medical school, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sets you up for the future, but that's trial by fire.
Trial by fire, and going back to our schedule.
Yeah.
Big time trial by fire.
Yeah. You know. I guess you'll see what they're made of early in their career.
Yeah. Yeah. But I they've been great. Their attitudes, they're just their poise, just the way they've been playing. We've been really impressed.
Well, as a player, wouldn't you want to play? I mean, as a freshman,
absolutely.
I'd say I'd much rather be playing in whatever the case may be than sitting in the press box.
Absolutely.
Let's go back a couple of weeks. A lot of coaches don't like to play on holiday weekends. Just travel on holidays is tough. Players may want to be with their families. It was a non-conference series, so you're the one that scheduled it. Were you envisioning a quote-unquote destination weekend for your team at Lindenwood? With some fun stuff aside from just playing?
At the time, no. At the time, it was trying to find games, to be honest with you. Again, going back, a lot of teams we had obviously had a schedule originally, but then after last year, COVID, teams were calling saying we can't travel. Even our administration saying no travel for 2 years. Mm. We were in a tournament that got canceled last year, so that the tournament just kept those teams into this year. So other than Clarkson, we were scrambling to try to find games. And fortunately, Lindenwood said we have an open weekend. That's on Thanksgiving. Would you? And we owed them a trip. And I said, yeah, we'll come. And from that point, Emma Terrace was the one to kind of set things up in terms of making it. She came to me. She said, "There's the St. Louis Blues are playing on Saturday night." My initial reaction was, "No, we're just going to get
okay."
I said, "Go."
Kel came home with the itinerary and says, "We're going to the Blues game afterwards on Saturday." I said, "You do realize that means you're leaving at 10 o'clock at night?"
I don't care. We were all tired. It was quiet.
That was great, though. It was a great, great way to end that trip, and it came at a really good time for our team to be able to go on the road like that and just spend time together.
We had
a really tough the Friday game against Duluth was one of those refund games, and it was tough. You know, we came back, played better Saturday, but still it was just, you know, so to have that trip where it was just our group and spend the time together, players really enjoyed it. And Emma did a great job setting things up. We went to the Arch there on Thursday. You know, something was just, I mean, that was really a cool experience for all of us. And you know, obviously winning two hockey games added to it, but...
And the barbecue.
I don't think anybody minded. You know, I think most of them slept, you know, once we got on the bus. So. A little concerned to see, you know, how is it going to affect us the weekend at St. Cloud. They had played out at RPI, so we knew they had a kind of a long travel weekend too, but we had a good skate on Monday, gave them Tuesday off, and had a good skate Wednesday, and we won two more games on the weekend. So.
And Chelsea, you'd be happy to know that Scanny didn't order any salad off of the barbecue menu.
No, we took advantage of Chelsea of the specialties.
Sorry, Jim.
Where was that?
I was trying to remember. It was out east somewhere.
I went to a barbecue place and Jim ordered a salad.
And here I was sitting across from him. I had this huge plate of all, like, one of everything. And he's like, "Are you going to eat that?" Like, "No, go ahead. You're paying for it."
When in Rome.
Exactly.
I think I ate burritos every day while we were in Phoenix. So.
and then he comes home, and guess what I made?
Mexican.
Perfect.
That was awesome.
How important is off the ice fun stuff, though, in building a true team?
Oh, it's all about the experience. I mean, that's you hope every time you go on a road trip, it can be an educational experience for your group. So you try to find, you know, instead of, you know, obviously the games in the conference, especially for the older players, they've all been there, so it's not that new. But anytime you go like in a non-conference series to be able to take something else in like that, those are the things they're gonna remember. You know, from 15 years from now, the players are going to probably remember more of the stuff that not the games, but they're going to remember the St. Louis. For a lot of the players, it was the first NHL game they went to. Mm-hmm. So
really?
They'll always remember that.
Wow. Yep.
And then those are the things
that's hard to believe.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. You could see their eyes light up.
Well, yeah.
Awesome.
I've always felt, I guess I should feel even more blessed that I went to a North Star game at, you know, age 5.
Yeah, I went when I was a kid, too. I know, that's weird.
And what would your mother yell?
Oh, my mom. Oh, yeah. Every time we'd go see the North Stars, the one game they were playing the Blackhawks. And Dino Cicerelli.
Those were the best games.
No, I'll never forget this.
Al Secord.
She got her work tickets, West Publishing, down in the cities. My mom was working
right for on the glass.
A legal stenographer. She worked for a lawyer.
Fun.
She had, like, row 4 right up off the glass. And Dino Cicerelli and Denny Savard from the Blackhawks dropped gloves right in front of us. My mom stands up and she goes, "Let's see some blood." And my dad and I are just like, "Oh, who is this woman?"
That's awesome.
Like melting into our seats. It was awful. Great memories.
Yeah.
NHL games are fun.
Oh, they are.
It was a great weekend. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And of course, I think I told Lindsay Featherstone this. I thought her guided tour on the bus. She grabbed the microphone. Emma brought the microphone back to Lindsay Featherstone. It turns out her mom is from the St. Louis area. I had no idea that she gave a guided tour of the Arch, asked trivia questions.
Union Station, right? That's a part of St. Mm-hmm. Louis. Mm-hmm.
Bush Stadium.
That's right. It's the Budweiser. The Budweiser Brewery is there.
That was fun.
I've been to St. Louis. Time. It's a fun town.
Yeah.
Who'd the Blues play?
Columbus Blue Jackets. So Sillinger's brother was playing.
Oh, you saw the Sillinger, yeah. And who won?
The Blues. Yes.
All right.
And of course.
And the Sanford Center game, people could learn a lot of lessons from the how St. Louis does it. Just loud
so
music.
Cool.
I should do that all the time. Just pump loud music into our games.
Oh, it's cool.
It's unbelievable. The whole crowd was just rocking.
It was fun.
They had their goal chance. They had all of our players were doing their goal stuff, and it was.
It's a power play or penalty kill or whatever it was.
Yeah. Your team get on the Jumbotron?
No. Nope.
That's surprising.
Nope. We were way up in the.
All right. But a big group like that?
Mm.
That was a huge Jumbotron too, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Speaking of special teams, how are yours?
Getting better. Our penalty kill was outstanding at St. Cloud. And it was the Saturday game was ridiculous. It was about 32 penalties on called, but
it's a lot.
Yeah, and we scored our game-winning goal. It's a power play goal,
and overtime. Those don't happen very often.
Nope. Scored a couple power play goals at Lindenwood. Got a couple shorthanded goals. So yeah, it's that helps. No question.
Shorthanded goals come in two categories. Fluke, meaning bad play by them, or really good play by you.
Mm-hmm.
Which were they?
I think were both really good plays by us.
Absolutely.
Paige Beebe just made a great reach play and then just blew by their defenseman. And then Lindsay the next night, great play, just picked up puck and a little hesitation and caught him flat-footed and went in and scored.
Now, Lindsay's shorthanded goal kind of was reminiscent of Alyssa Watkins' even strength goal, where Alyssa she went through like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy watching her do that.
This is radio, Kel.
I know.
Listeners cannot see your hand movements there.
She weaved in and out all around everyone.
Everybody,
and
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
what I could get from her hand movements over here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Perfectly.
So the men get to the halfway point of the season after Friday's game. You guys are already past the halfway point, correct?
Yes, we are. Well, we got 32, and we won't get 34. 34 is is the normal amount of games we get. But
we only get 32 this year.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. League thing, NCAA thing, BSU thing.
No, we could only get.
Scheduling thing.
Scheduling thing, yeah. Again, team said they couldn't come out.
How many?
We're limited, right? I mean, our non-conference, we only got one direction we can go. And Lindenwood's the closest one.
Yep.
And they're in St. Louis.
Yep.
What about, last year, it's got to feel great this year. I was telling Tom, last week and this week, you had one game in at this time last year, or two games in. So,
isn't that something?
Yeah, isn't that weird to go back and go, yeah, you're right. Because now things have, it's a regular season, so to speak, mm-hmm. again for you guys. That said, COVID's still around. You got to follow your protocols and all that still?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, but you're so right, Biss. We're just
How many games did you have in about this time last year?
I think you're right. We missed our first four.
Okay, same because of BSU. Men on the men's side did the same thing.
So I think you're
maybe
I think
one
you're
or
right.
two games.
This weekend might have been our fifth and sixth games of the year last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it feel a little bit more normal?
It does. It does. Yeah. We had the bye weekend right out of the chute there, and then we had another bye. But for the most part, it's felt pretty good in terms of normal. Yeah. Yep.
After Wisconsin this weekend, you've got Minnesota State next weekend, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I forgot to print out my schedules for today, but what are you noticing about the Mavericks from afar this year?
They had a great start. They were I think they were 4-0 in non-conference, and then. Split with Duluth, I think their first weekend, so they were 5-1. But I think since then they're maybe 5-9. They had some injuries. They had to actually go get a goalie that wasn't on the team. She was a tennis player,
mm-hmm.
lived in the same dorm floor as some of the hockey players, and they had to get her to play because they lost two goalies. One goalie before the season had to have hip surgery. Goalie got hurt during their St. Cloud series. She had to have surgery. She's out for the year. Kayla Frank, their starter, suffered a concussion, so she was out. So they were down to no goalies.
Oh, my God.
So going to Ohio State.
Oh, good luck.
They
with a tennis player.
They get this
Oh,
tennis
she's
player.
Actually pretty good.
Yeah, she played goal for her high school team. And
she still. Did,
But still, get a knock on the door. Hey, do you want to come play hockey this weekend in Ohio State?
But they did. They did go to the transfer portal. They got a. They got a goalie from Penn State coming. She's there. She'll be. She'll be eligible, of course, when they come to Bemidji.
Of course.
Yeah, Murphy's Law, right?
Yeah. So, but no, they're a good team. They can score goals. They're they've got a nice group of forwards, and so.
Jim, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Your daughter played soccer here for Jim Stone. The knocking on doors, looking for players, was how Jim Stone started the soccer program here. Mm-hmm. As a fellow coach, as a father of a daughter who played here, can you just talk about where he's put this program?
Oh, just just first of all, congratulations to Jim and his staff and his team for the season they had. Same with Coach Bolte and the football team. Just unbelievable what they did. But yeah, my daughter had an unbelievable experience with Jim, and still, I mean, she's very, very close to the program and how he always has been. And that's what he is. He's created that culture or the alumni. Jim had a I think it was the night before they played, he had a Zoom where he invited all the alumni to Zoom with the team. And so they were all, you know, had a chance to say, you know, good luck and talk about their experiences. And that's just what he's created in terms of his program. And just like I said, Bree just had a wonderful time, wonderful experience. And that's the most important thing to me is how he treated her and just because of her experience, I know what a great program he has. So yeah, it was really cool and fun to watch. And obviously Gabby Smith's sister Allie's on it, so there's a connection there. And everybody, all our team was all watching the game on Saturday morning at our pregame breakfast. So yeah, he's done a tremendous job. Everybody's really. All of us really, really proud, but having had a daughter play for him, it's even that much more special.
Beavers take on Wisconsin this weekend, Minnesota State next weekend. Get to the Sanford Center, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Be a great couple of weekends of hockey.
Absolutely.
Scanny, best of luck. Fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Jim Scanlon, head coach of the Beaver women's hockey team with us. And the women's basketball team won last night, 86-80. Bunch of three-pointers. They'll play Northern and MSU Moorhead this weekend at home.
They're just cranking things up, right?
Yeah, they just – that's their second
– third league game.
Right. And they were really good last year. So
they were.
Good to see them get off the schneid, so to speak.
DSU men beat St. Cloud last weekend on the road. So that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eight games this weekend here on the Beaver Radio Network. Not exactly sure what the plan is going to be for next Wednesday night. Coach Ceratori and the men don't play next week.
Correct.
He's not sure if he's going to be recruiting or not. So we may have Coach Ceratori here. We may have Coach Winter, Coach Gibbons. We may have basketball coaches here next week. We'll play that by ear on Monday.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. We're going to have a show next week. The week after, which would be the 22nd, I believe.
Yep.
We will not.
Yes.
The 29th, yes. We will.
Hard to keep track of all this. The holidays are upon us.
We're only taking 1 week off for the holidays. Normally it's three.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, true.
Ho, ho, ho.
The schedule dictates as such. Thanks to everyone who stopped out here tonight. We gave away a bunch of tickets, a bunch of tavern gift cards. We do that every week.
Get here next Wednesday.
Every Wednesday night starting at 6. It's the Tom Ceratori Show and, following that, the Coach's Huddle. From the Tavern on South Shore. Info online. You can get that at BeaverRadioNetwork.com. Good night, everyone.
Go Beavers.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.